Welcome to this week's Real AI Podcast, based on the first and most popular weekly newsletter about real estate and artificial intelligence for real estate agents and brokers. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and these are the highlights from this week's Real AI newsletter for the week of July 20th, 2026. Now, here are your AI hosts, Miles and Grace.
Have you ever sat down, opened up ChatGPT, stared at that little blinking cursor, and asked it just a terrifyingly simple question? What do you actually know about me?
Oh, yeah. It is it's quite the digital mirror to hold up to yourself, isn't it?
It really is.
And for most professionals who actually try it, I mean, the response either feels remarkably underwhelming or it borders on completely unsettling.
Exactly. And that is exactly what Kevin Hawkins, who is a leading educator and coach in the real estate space, actually did in front of a live audience recently.
Right, which was a huge eye-opener.
It was. So we are doing a deep dive today into a stack of research and reporting, all curated from the Real AI newsletter, which is put together by AI educators Kevin and Corey Hawkins.
And there is a lot of ground to cover.
There is. So our mission for this is to, you know, cut entirely through the hype cycle. If you're listening to this and you're feeling overwhelmed by just the absolute flood of new models and automated tools, we'll just break down how top professionals are systematically taming these systems.
Right, to actually reclaim their time.
Yes, and we'll look at where the broader industry is basically setting billions of dollars on fire.
Mm.
And finally, what the rapid evolution of this technology actually means for your daily workflow.
We really have to start with that live audience experiment, though, because it just perfectly illustrates the gap between, you know, having access to a tool and actually knowing how to wield it.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. So Kevin Hawkins is teaching an AI class for Momentum MLS out in Arizona.
Specifically for agents working the Bullhead City and Kingman markets, right?
Yes, exactly. These are practical, working professionals. So he challenges the room to ask ChatGPT what it knows about them. And this agent named Melinda volunteers.
Okay.
She had been using the platform for a while, and the system spit out a decent, you know, basic profile of who she was. But then Kevin steps up.
Oh, this is the best part.
Right. He logs into his account, and he asks the exact same question. And the system didn't just spit out a bio. I mean, it essentially reproduced his entire professional consciousness. It knew he was the Real AI Guy. It knew his audience. It even cited his book, The Real AI Guide for Real Estate Agents.
It's wild. It listed his course titles, referenced his newest video interview series, Inside AI. I mean, the recall of his resume is impressive, but
there's more to it, right?
Exactly. The underlying mechanism at play here is what you really need to pay attention to. The model wasn't just scraping the internet for keywords associated with his name. It had actually mapped his conceptual framework.
Yeah, it knew his tone. The system explicitly noted that Kevin rejects empty promises and like tired industry cliches.
Right.
It outlined his core working philosophy, that the best AI tools are also the safest AI tools.
Yeah.
But the detail that really stopped me in my tracks, the AI specifically noted that it should never use the phrase work smarter when writing for him.
Yes.
It understood that Kevin's central non-negotiable value proposition is that his methods save people time.
That distinction explains the entire mechanics of advanced prompting, honestly, because, you know, work smarter is just a subjective qualitative platitude.
Yes. It's just corporate jargon.
Exactly. But saves people time is an objective, measurable outcome. The algorithm actually understood the semantic difference between those two concepts.
Wow.
And it adjusted its future predictive text generation to align perfectly with his specific operational boundaries.
Okay, let's unpack this, because I understand the theory, but I really have to push back hard on the reality of doing this.
Fair enough.
The sources mention that this level of hyper-personalization is the result of more than 3 years of ongoing conversations, corrections, and instructions.
It is a commitment, yeah.
Right. So for the professionals listening to this right now, people who are barely keeping their heads above water managing, you know, client calls, inspections, and just their email inboxes, is this really the expectation?
I see where you're going.
It sounds like hiring a highly paid human assistant and then having to spend 3 years painstakingly teaching them not to use corporate jargon.
Yeah.
Like, is the return on investment actually there just to write a weekly market report?
It is a completely fair challenge. I mean, asking an overworked professional to spend hours tweaking an algorithm sounds totally counterproductive. But the research introduces a specific operational concept to address this.
And what's that?
Feeding the beast.
Feeding the beast. Okay.
This is where the workflow fundamentally changes. most people treat large language models like a search engine. You know, you type in a prompt, the machine gives you a mediocre draft.
You copy it into Microsoft Word.
Right. You fix all the generic phrasing yourself and you send it to your client.
Because it's just faster to fix the two bad sentences yourself than to sit there and argue with a chatbot.
Right. But look at the mechanism of what you just did. By fixing it in isolation, you starved the model.
Oh, I see.
The next time you ask it for a draft, it is going to make the exact same mistakes, and you are going to spend the exact same amount of time fixing them again.
So it never actually learns.
Exactly. The critical pivot, what Kevin Hawkins is doing, is bringing the final polished version back into the system. You feed it the answer key. You upload the market report you actually sent, the email that actually converted a lead, and you instruct the model. Analyze this. This is the new standard.
So you are forcing the system to update its contextual weights based on your final output.
Precisely. And you don't just feed it your successes. You have to train it on what you actively reject, too.
Like the work smarter phrase.
Yes. When you strip out a phrase like that, you feed that correction back into the interface. It's essentially the same logic as a GPS routing algorithm.
How so?
Well, the GPS might think taking the highway is the fastest route, right? If you hit a road closure and detour through a neighborhood, but you don't report the closure to the app, the system will just keep routing you toward the blocked road every single day.
Oh, that makes total sense.
Feeding the beast is how you tell the system the road is closed. That upfront friction is what eventually allows the model to hand you a first draft that is 95% complete. And that is where the massive time savings actually materialize.
Okay, if the solution to making these tools highly effective is as straightforward as consistently feeding them an answer key, it really begs a massive question about what is happening on a macro level.
Oh, absolutely. The industry data is wild right now.
It really is.
Yeah.
Because when you look at the broader real estate industry data right now, the gap between the financial investment and the actual operational impact is just staggering.
The capital allocation suggests like a complete technological revolution, but the ground level data tells a very different story.
Let me walk you through these numbers from the real AI sources because they highlight a severe disconnect.
Go for it.
According to Research and Markets, the generative AI sector within real estate grew from $0.77 billion in 2025 to $1 billion in 2026.
Which is massive.
That is over a 30% jump in capital in a single year.
Yeah.
And JLL reports that 87% of real estate organizations have actively raised their tech budgets specifically to acquire AI tools.
Right. But there's a catch.
A huge one. In that exact same JLL survey, 60% of real estate investors openly admit they are completely unprepared to scale these tools beyond simple isolated pilots.
So they have the budget, they have the software, but they just lack the infrastructure to deploy it.
Exactly. And it gets worse for the end user. A survey by the National Association of Realtors, NAR, reveals that 46% of realtors say AI has not produced any noticeable impact on their business.
Nearly half.
And even more revealing, only 8% of realtors surveyed are using Apple Intelligence in their workflow.
Which is mind-blowing.
Right. Apple Intelligence is literally built into the phones they are carrying in their pockets every single day, and 92% of the industry isn't touching it.
Yeah.
So what does this all mean? How is it mechanically possible to have a billion-dollar market footprint, massive budget increases, and yet half the professionals using the tech see absolutely zero value?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, Ashley Fidler, who is the chief product officer at MoxieWorks, she diagnosed this exact structural failure on episode 3 of the Inside AI series.
What did she say?
She pointed out that the single biggest mistake companies make is simply buying the technology without a human strategy. The mechanism of failure here is top-down procurement.
Meaning leadership just buys it because it's trendy.
Pretty much. Leadership sees a billion-dollar market trend. They feel the pressure of competitors raising budgets. So they just purchase enterprise software with an AI capability. But AI is not a strategy. It is a computational utility.
It's like buying a massive commercial generator for a building, but never wiring it to the electrical panel.
That is an incredibly accurate way to look at it. If leadership does not map out a specific human workflow, you know, identifying the exact bottlenecks in lead generation or contract review that require automation, the tool just sits there.
Like the Apple Intelligence stat.
Exactly. The reason only 8% of agents are using Apple Intelligence isn't because the tech is flawed. It's because their daily workflow is likely siloed inside a legacy CRM that doesn't natively speak to the phone's operating system. Without a strategic bridge, the technology cannot create value. They bought the capability, but they entirely refused to design the workflow.
And when you pump $1 billion into an industry that fundamentally lacks a workflow strategy, the consequences get dark very quickly. I mean, this isn't just about wasted money anymore. It's about the active degradation of the industry's product.
We are seeing a massive injection of friction and liability that's basically disguised as efficiency.
Yeah, the New York Times recently published a piece highlighting that AI slop, this wave of generic, poorly generated, hallucinated content, is worse than ever.
It is flooding the zone.
It really is. But what terrifies me is how the corporate world is adapting to this.
Huh.
Korn Ferry recently highlighted a new behavioral trend they're calling the AI did it excuse.
Oh, yeah.
Professionals are actively blaming algorithms for their own oversight failures.
This is a fundamental breakdown in the chain of accountability. The Korn Ferry piece points out a structural reality. Language models do not possess fiduciary duty. They do not hold licenses. They desperately require human managers. When a professional blames the model, they are publicly admitting they just completely abdicated their management responsibilities.
And we are seeing the legal and ethical fallout of that abdication right now. Look at the New York City market.
Right, the hearings.
According to PETAPixel, Mayor Mamdani recently initiated the rental ripoff hearings. Just to impartially report on what's in the sources here, a core focus of these hearings is an effort to stop landlords and real estate professionals from secretly using AI image generators to alter property photos in their listings.
The temptation to manipulate visual data through generative models is high because the cost of alteration has dropped to zero, but the resulting liability is immense.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Using generative AI to secretly alter the physical reality of a listing photo is essentially the real estate equivalent of, like, heavily photoshopping a dating app profile.
That is a perfect analogy.
Right. You can artificially erase the water damage or generate perfect natural light. But the second the buyer actually walks through the front door, the moment they see reality, the entire transaction collapses because the underlying physical asset does not match the generated data.
Exactly.
The trust is instantaneously broken, and absolutely no algorithm can repair a relationship built on manipulated data.
What's fascinating here is how the pursuit of frictionless efficiency is actually creating liability. And this pursuit of removing human friction extends all the way to the transaction itself.
Oh, the existential threat.
Yes. The sources highlight a Colorado-based startup called the Ridley AI Platform, which was covered by 5280 Magazine.
Okay.
Their entire model is designed to sell homes without commissions by using AI to handle the process.
Wow.
But industry experts are waving massive red flags regarding the lack of human supervision in these automated transactions.
I mean, that sounds incredibly risky.
It is. News4Jax even ran a broadcast warning consumers that while AI-powered services promise to save thousands, relying on them to entirely replace human agents is highly dangerous. NA went so far as to publish a concrete list of 10 reasons why AI simply cannot replace realtors.
Because they lack that human oversight.
Exactly. What the industry is wrestling with right now is a fundamental misunderstanding of how value is created. McKinsey recently released a research report analyzing how AI is reshaping value creation in residential real estate, and their conclusion points in the exact opposite direction of total automation.
So the companies trying to build, like, a completely unsupervised automated machine to replace the human agent are actually moving in the wrong direction.
According to the research, yes. The mechanical advantage of AI is not in severing the human connection. The real winners, the entities that will actually capture that billion-dollar market growth, are the ones using the technology to turn demand into an efficient yet highly human-like process.
Because it's a huge transaction.
Exactly. Complex real estate transactions require emotional intelligence, negotiation, and contextual risk assessment. An unsupervised model cannot evaluate the anxiety of a first-time homebuyer.
Right.
When you rely on automation to the point of generating slop or faking listing photos, you aren't optimizing the transaction. You're introducing fatal vulnerabilities into it.
So on one hand, we have power users like Kevin Hawkins meticulously curating their models to protect their brand. And on the other hand, we have a macro industry drowning in slop, facing regulatory hearings and trying to automate away their own value.
It's a huge divide.
It is. But the one constant in our sources is that the technology itself is not pausing to let the industry figure this out. The bleeding edge is accelerating.
Oh, the foundational models themselves are undergoing a massive structural shift right now.
Just look at what is happening at OpenAI. According to Inc. magazine, the version of ChatGPT that sparked this entire revolution is effectively dead.
Yeah, it's wild.
It has literally been rebranded as ChatGPT Classic. It has been pushed aside by the launch of highly specialized enterprise tools like ChatGPT Work and ChatGPT Codex.
The introduction of Codex is particularly vital to understand. We are moving away from models that just predict the next word in a conversational sentence towards models that can autonomously structure complex data sets, write functional code, and integrate directly into back-end systems.
Which is where things like House Canary come in, right?
Exactly. The sources point out that major integrations are happening. House Canary is executing this really bold vision to use AI to expand its home listings natively onto Google.
That's massive. And the capabilities of the core models themselves are just expanding so fast. The sources note the launch of GPT 5.6, which introduces a capability they describe as design judgment.
Yes.
It is reportedly delivering significantly better structural and aesthetic results for professional multi-step tasks.
Design judgment is a massive leap in computational logic. It implies the system is no longer just evaluating the semantic meaning of the text, but it is actually weighing the spatial, structural, and qualitative presentation of the information.
It knows what looks good.
Exactly. It is beginning to evaluate what looks and feels professional.
Okay, this is where I have to push back. If we are moving into an era where GPT 5.6 comes out of the box with built-in design judgment and Codex can structure the data natively, do we even need to keep giving it our answer keys like Kevin Hawkins suggests?
This raises an important question for sure.
Because if the AI is finally ready to just take the wheel and it knows what looks professional, hasn't it advanced to the point where we can stop spending 3 years training it?
It is the most logical assumption to make, but it is exactly why a massive portion of the industry is going to be left behind.
Wait, really?
Yes. The mechanical reality of these new models dictates that you have to feed the beast now more than ever.
How does that make sense? If the baseline is smarter, why do I have to work harder to train it?
Because of baseline inflation.
Baseline inflation.
Yeah, think about the mechanics of the market. GPT 5.6 might possess a flawless internal baseline for design judgment. It might be able to instantly generate a beautifully formatted, grammatically perfect, highly professional market analysis. But you have to remember, your competitor across the street has the exact same baseline.
Oh, wow.
Right. If the generic out-of-the-box output is suddenly brilliant, then brilliance is no longer a competitive advantage. It is simply the new average.
That changes everything.
The new slop won't be poorly written text with weird formatting. The new slop will be highly polished, perfectly structured, utterly soulless perfection.
So the rising tide lifts all boats.
Yeah.
But it effectively camouflages anyone who doesn't have a distinct flag on their mast.
Exactly. The system might have generic design judgment, but it still doesn't have your specific judgment.
Right.
It doesn't know your ethical boundaries. It doesn't possess your specific knowledge of a local zoning board. It does not know that you refuse to use the phrase work smarter.
Right. Going back to Kevin's rule.
Yes. The more advanced the baseline technology becomes, the more intensely you have to curate and manage its outputs to ensure your specific human identity isn't just washed away by the new perfect average. You cannot abdicate the role of the manager.
That completely reframes this entire conversation. The ultimate lesson from the real AI sources isn't just about, you know, buying the latest multi-billion dollar tool. It is about fundamentally restructuring your relationship with the technology.
Absolutely.
You have to stop treating these systems like a magical search engine that you query for a quick favor. You have to treat the AI like a brilliant, tireless, but incredibly raw intern.
Excellent point, Miles. And that's this week's Real AI Podcast. I'm Kevin Hawkins, the Real AI Guy, and until next week, keep it real.